Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne.
And I'm Will.
We thought we'd change it up a little bit. Anyway, we have a great show for you today, tonight, depending on what time you're listening. We're going to talk about the Springfield, Illinois shows that I was at and some great setter specialties and newfie specialties and a bunch of good stuff going on down there. Will is going to talk about Trillium. Evidently, there's a big little circuit cluster going on up there in Toronto next weekend. We're talking a little about sportsmanship, about clubs and egos that can divide them, and that's too bad. And of course, we're going to talk about way too much hockey for most Americans. Stay tuned for that and more.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go.
Hey there, Will. How the heck are you? Life's going good for you?
Yeah, it's going good. Busy as usual. I had a show on the weekend, and I had transports when I got home and transports before I leave for this weekend and classes on Wednesday, and it's nonstop, Wayne.
Yeah, this retirement thing's not working out, huh? You can't retire from dogs. It's not a job.
No.
It's just part of who
we are. And my Leafs, holy Jesus.
Well, I didn't want to bring it up. I was going to wear my Panthers sweatshirt tonight because I have one. But I thought that's rubbing salt in the wound. Man.
I'll tell you, there was a post on Facebook that said Zach Hyman has more goals this year than Austin Matthews, John Tavares, William Nylander, and Mitch Marner put together.
Yes, he does.
So I sent Zach a message. And being Zach, he messaged me right back and thanked me and whatnot. And I said, well, maybe I should change teams. He said, orange would look good on you. Well, I said, well, then I'll have to order myself a jersey. He said, I just sent Dad a message. You're getting a jersey.
Really? Oh, excellent. Excellent. Let me tell you, the guys on NHL Network down here on satellite radio, they're all about, there's one thing that can fix the Toronto Maple Leafs. Three or four Zach Hymans.
Yeah.
They need skilled grit. He said, they got all these fans. They need skilled grit. And he's the guy.
He is. And well, Edmonton's undefeated.
Yeah. Well, so are the Florida Panthers.
Yeah. So are, who else is? Somebody else is. Oh, Carolina, who beat us up last night.
Yeah, I know. Did you see who got fired yesterday or just an hour ago or so?
No, who?
The entire Chicago Blackhawks general management and staff from 2010.
Wow.
All of them. It says Stan Bowman has resigned as general manager amid the, well, it's an assault investigation, of course, but he didn't do it. But he did not report it. So here's who's fired. Stan Bowman, Al Makasiak, John McDonough, Jay Blunk, Ken Sheveldon, Coach Quenneville, of course, James Gary. They all met to discuss an alleged assault and took no action for a month. So as a result, they're all gone. Or at least, well, the ones that are there, which I think is Scotty or Stan Bowman.
We play them tomorrow night. They'll be all rejuvenated. They're going to beat the crap out of us. You watch.
They're not very talented. Oh, by the way, we're going to talk about dogs sometime.
Oh, yeah, this is the hockey drive with Wayne Cavanaugh and Will Alexander.
All these people from Mississippi going, what the hell are those guys talking about?
Sorry.
Up here in the tundra, it's all we can talk about is hockey. And the winter's even coming, so it's going to get worse. Anyway, you went to some dog shows.
I went to a dog show in Belleville, Ontario, Belleville Kennel Club, and it was a limited show every day, which means there was two shows a day. And I have to tell you, Wayne, I took four dogs, and it was tough making them all because there was no time. With no depth in the classes, it was one after another. So, like, it was touch and go. I had people help me, handing me dogs. I had four dogs. In the old days, I'd show 25 dogs and not miss anybody. You know, it's because there's no depth. It was just bang, 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 bang. The first show's over by noon. The second show starts. It's like, holy, hold on to your hat. Hose me down. Three shows a day.
You know? Was there three a day?
No. Just kidding.
Oh, 2 days.
That's just a saying.
Yeah. That's just I don't know. That's the state of the sport. And to scale, it certainly happens here. We had some more 198 dog shows down here. In fact, I spent way too much time again crunching all the numbers from the weekend.
Because we're not show nerds.
I don't. That's right. Sorry about that. And again, it looks like it's going to be in the 500s as an average show.
Yeah.
Instead of 1,749 as it was in 1998. That's just so sad.
Yeah.
When the entries drop in half or in, by two-thirds, and the shows increase by almost 40% now, we're just upside down. Something's got to be done. It's not fun. I was in Springfield, Illinois this week. I did an Irish Setter, the Irish Setter Regional down there. And it was held in conjunction with the All Breeds. So I have to sit there. Well, I didn't have to. But I got there early because what am I going to do? Sit in a hotel or go to a dog show. And I didn't start till 1:15 and wanted to watch some dogs, but 1-1-0-1-0-1-1-0. And that's a 600 and some dog show. That's a big show.
What was your Irish Setter entry?
32. And that's a great entry in Irish Setters, scarily enough, because that used to be the open dog class.
Well, I know. Finger Lakes, they had good numbers. They were like in the 50s in Finger Lakes, 40s, 50s.
Well, there were four concurrent specialists. And there was a little issue because Merle was telling me, the great show cluster chairman there, he's terrific, was telling me that the premium list, there's a box you can check when you file for these shows or whatever it is. And they did them separately. So the concurrent specialties were in a separate judging program and a separate entry and separate catalogs. So the day specialties were part of the All Breed, but the concurrents were after. And it led to confusion for people to entry. So even though the numbers were identical, most of the 4 days, they were up. I had like extra two because of two veterans or something, but nothing special for me. But even though they were all pretty much the same, I guess there are some people that didn't enter the afternoon shows. So
I think I read that. Yeah,
they didn't know about it or something. But still, you know, it's one of those things you'd hope you have more. But boy, still, it felt good to have 32. I can tell you, instead of 1-1-0-2.
You get something to judge, right?
Yeah, and some real nice ones, including we talked about that taking the time to find the diamond in the rough. There's a diamond in the rough there. Beautiful, deep, deep mahogany, beautiful coat, a real Irish Setter, gorgeous type, and not quite ready for prime time and not having her best day, but it was nice to be able to give her a select. I really, you just feel good about find when you have the time and the quality in the ring to find it. But there you have it. It was you know, the best part, we had dinner one night. It was Joe Walton, who, by the way, is one of the nicest guys in the world.
Joe's a wonderful man.
He's a great guy. And Rick.
Kurt Wunder.
Yeah. And
Bill. Guy.
Yeah. And Bill de Villeneuve. How do you?
Villeneuve, yes. Scotty guy. William de Villeneuve, yes.
Great guys. You know, and Ken and I. And there's the one that did Irish Setters from Texas, and I feel bad. I don't remember her name. Anyway, it was a bunch of us. And we sat there and we talked. Of course, we're old now. So we had, we're in the bar and we had one light beer or Diet Coke and one cheeseburger. We're in bed by 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
That same crew 20 years ago and it closed the place. But anyway, we talked dogs and I was on the elevator with Joe on the way back up. And he said, you know, this is why I do this. This is why I get delayed. Take all this travel nonsense so we can have conversations about dogs. And it's too bad you have to do it just at dinner for that hour.
Yeah.
But there's no time for shows anymore. You know, you're just flying through.
And I'll tell you, even this weekend, it used to be that we have big dinners after the show. I was so tired after those limited shows because you're running around all day long. Mm-hmm. I ate in my hotel room twice. Now, granted, there was two hockey games on that night. So, but I still.
When the Leafs are playing, do you order a little Maalox with the cheeseburger? Or
Chinese food, you know. The Ash Leaf game, you want to watch another one because you're just not satisfied an hour later.
Oh, young William. Anyway, that is the best part, you know, hanging out and talking to exhibitors and breeders, and a real good field rep. It was great to have a chat with her about the breed. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. 5-hour drive home in the pouring rain, zero visibility, trying to find the lane half the time. That's what you do, ladies and gentlemen. You drive 10 hours, spend 2 nights in a hotel, you get to be in the ring for a couple hours. So, yeah.
I hate driving in the rain at night.
But still, it was fun. You know, we had an email from a woman concerned about sportsmanship, and one of her questions was that a focus back on more on the breed ring would help. Oh gosh, I would love to say yes, but I don't think it will. I don't think anything will help. They'll always be bad.
Sportsmanship. Whenever eagles get involved and a competitive level like we do, anything that's in competition with something else, eagles get involved, and yeah. It's just.
And sometimes you get too used to winning in your region, you know,
it's how you were raised. Like I remember, like if I didn't congratulate somebody, I was getting a smack on top of my head.
I have to say thank you to the toll man, and I still do.
I do too. I asked him the other day, he's going.
He's like, my father's hand coming across the car, hit me in the head if I don't.
Sometimes they're taken aback and they look at you like, what the heck? Who's this guy trying to talk with me?
But yeah, it's, and I think you just have to set it aside. You know, you have to just go above and beyond, and everyone's going to lose their cool. You and I have done it. But it's a continued parade of bad sportsmanship
that
gets old after a while. But I always thought, and I don't know if I ever told you this, there was a young veterinarian who, this is a long time ago, she had hounds, I'll say, and she just couldn't stop complaining about the judging. It was all fixed. It was horrible. The sport was going to hell in a handbasket, and her dog's the only good dogs. And one day I said to her, you know, every time I see you, you come up to me and tell me all this. This is supposed to be a sport where you have fun. You're not having any fun. All you do is complain and cut up everybody else and think you get the only one. I said, why don't you try some other sport? And she was furious with me. Mm-hmm. I saw her a year later. She came to a coonhound show that happened to be in her area having hounds. And she came to thank me and said, you know, you were right. I took a year off, and it's the best thing I ever did. Time to reflect. I'm doing some other things, and I'll probably get back into sport with a whole different thing. And boy, I thought she was going to kill me. I saw her walking over. I thought, oh my God, here she comes. But if you're not having fun.
Oh, exactly.
Don't try something else. And if you think your dog should always win, no dog should always win. None. There's not a dog has ever been born that should always win.
Right.
That's just the way it's a sport. You're going to have it no matter what. And clubs are the next topic, right? Will, we want to talk about this. Same thing, right?
Well, it's because we were talking about egos and sportsmanship, it's again, egos and clubs. What's the fastest way to tear a club apart? Mm-hmm. Egos, right? And I don't know what the cure is, or if there is a cure, because you think you're all adults and you sit down and you come up with a conclusion. And if someone that's not happy with it, they want to take their ball and go home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you run into it as well, but you watch it happening, and you see great clubs or clubs that have the chance to be great clubs. And then all of a sudden you see a couple characters get involved or different personality conflicts, and it all ends. And I don't know how they need to, and I know it's hard to work together, but we're all adults here. You know, you come up with it. If there's a problem, yeah, you have a bit of a round table and you come up with a conclusion, and you all have to be happy with that conclusion since you've all spoken about it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's been another problem since dog shows began, and not just dog shows. It's probably flower clubs that have the same problem.
Sure, yeah.
People want the power. the thing that concerns me about national breed clubs is when you get someone in charge who decides, I own this breed. I am, this is my breed. I'm the only one. And I'm going to change the way I like, and everybody else is wrong. And you get those breed mavens, and they can certainly be men or women. And this goes on for until they die, you know, and everyone's afraid to unseat the king. And that's okay, you know, I guess, but you've got to have some sense of, if it's a benevolent dictator, that's one thing, you know, but if it's not someone who listened to everybody else first, it's. And the other problem with clubs, you can't get members anymore.
That's right. It's hard to get members. Any new members, you can't, there's no young people that want to be in clubs anymore. So you get all these control freaks, older people like you and I, and they want to do things their own way, and they all get into head banging.
They were telling the show chair, the cluster chair, Springfield, you know, these are beautiful shows. It's in the State Fair building, and it is a historic, gorgeous building. Beautiful old glass up top and a mezzanine with the old metal iron bars and really pretty iron railings, not iron bars. We weren't in jail. All good. But he was telling me that there's 8 people in the club now. And this is, you know, 600 to 700 dogs every day for 4 days. These days it's pretty big.
Yeah.
And 6 people run the whole show and doing everything.
Well, next week coming up, we have one of our most popular shows in Ontario, if not Canada, the Trillium Dog Club. And it's run by Bob and Lane Whitney and Bob Robaugh. Pretty well, it's a real close-knit club. There might be some other ones. But you know what? They got like 2,700 entries for the weekend.
What?
Yes, not, wow. That's not one day. That's over
3
days with specialties and whatnot. But that's the biggest we've had in a long time. They worked their butts off. They've got, I think, Johan's coming up. Steve Keating's coming up. Hal Bierman's coming up. They've gone out and reached out to some new faces that we haven't seen in quite a while.
Well, they're going to love Johan.
Oh, yeah, everyone
loves Hal. And all of them. Yeah, they're all good guys, and I think they're good judges. So it'll be good to see a fresh face. And
I've been looking forward to it. And I'm glad they got that entry. And they were both Bob and Elaine, both Bobs, Bob Whitney and Bob Robaugh, and Elaine Whitney, they all judged this weekend. So I was sort of getting a play-by-play as of how it was going. Now, Bob Whitney's really close, but he won't say, you can't show him the schedule. But you know, I was getting a play-by-play about how big this show was. And like Saturday almost reached 700, and you know, the all wow. So, yeah, so they're all excited. And I really, my hat's off to them, because that's not easy. They have such an exhibitor-friendly show. And now to have it's going to be a completely indoor show, which we had this past weekend as well. And we have to show proof of vaccine and all that. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And I'm really looking forward to it.
That's terrific. Yeah. But, you know, you get people like that who not only have been in the sport forever, but have great respect in the sport. And you don't need the biggest club in the world.
No.
It would be nice for other reasons, but to put on a show, even if you have 150 members in your club, and you know, I've been in clubs like that back east many years ago, it ends up half a dozen do most of the work. But then you get clubs like here in Kalamazoo where they have a giant number of members, and they all have a job, and they all participate and cooperate and do the little bit, which makes it a great weekend twice a year. So yeah, it's really varies. And unfortunately the breed clubs are the ones usually getting the biggest wars. I remember in most breed clubs I was in, you couldn't wait for the new guy to join the club. You're like, oh, guess what? You can be president. I can be president already? Yes. Here's your gavel. Have a nice day.
Well, I'll tell you, like back to Trillium, there's no one that... I think Bob Whitney never stops thinking. He's constantly thinking how to improve his show.
Yeah.
He must have, he has the best recipe, and I wish we could all get it from him, because he always... with his wife and Bob Rowan, but I know Bob Whitney is the driving force, because he's always pushing and pushing, and he works hard, that man.
That is very cool. We got rewarded. Wow. That's got to be as big a show as you've had there in a year, a couple of years.
Oh, easy, right? For sure, yeah. Especially in this area, so.
That's terrific. Wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
Wonderful to hear. By the way, the Springfield Fairgrounds is a great place for a dog show, if anybody's looking for a place. It was really nice, and the hotel was nice and close. And you know what's interesting? And I thought about this, and this is not a knock on the Springfield fairgrounds at all. They are gorgeous. But, you know, we often go to fairgrounds for dog shows, right? The neighborhoods around fairgrounds and racetracks aren't always the best. And if you just, I'm not saying they're dangerous necessarily. They're just not real super attractive. And if you're a dog person, you only go from fair to fair and hockey rink and arena.
Yeah.
They think, well, those towns are ugly. Mm-mm, Springfield's beautiful. Oh. You just have to turn down the right streets, like any single town in America, right?
Like even this, I meant to have to mention this too. This past weekend, two handlers, Kylie's and Shelby Marley and Amanda McLeod, they had generators stolen at the hotel, and they were chained onto the back of their trucks.
Oh, man.
Like, seriously. And they were staying at the Holiday Inn Express.
Man, they should have been smarter by staying at the Holiday Inn Express. Isn't that what happens
to them? Oh, I felt so bad for them. They got the first day, and they're moping around like, what's going on, Kyle?
Man.
Generator was stolen last night.
Man, they're expensive.
Yeah.
And hard to find anymore, too.
Exactly.
Oh, that's horrible. But, you know. Yeah, you used to be able to just, you know, everybody threw their coats and purses in one of the crates, and that was it. No one worried about anything. Now you just can't even leave anything.
You never know. Jesus. Oh, well. I feel bad for them. Hope they had insurance.
Yeah, but Springfield's a cool city. The Presidential Museum is there, and yeah, there's a giant Abe Lincoln at the entrance. It's gorgeous fairgrounds. Anyway. That was a fun time and all that. I do want to say one thing that happened there that gave me hope. Well, first of all, there's two things. There was a Newfie specialties. There were Schipperke specialties and Irish Setter specialties and maybe one or two other. I think that maybe one more. But the coolest part was usually at group time, there's nobody there except the handlers and the dogs and the judges waiting for a ride back to the hotel. When the working group walked in and the Newfie came in the ring, all the Newfie people stayed and clapped.
Oh, nice. That's always good.
That was like 1978. The Irish Setter people, of course, are always amazing. They stood and clapped. It was just in the Schipperke. It was so cool to see people hang around for the day.
Support.
And cheer on the end of the show. It was great. That was a real, real boost for me. And the other was, of course, we don't have spectators, not just because of COVID. Spectators don't come to shows anymore because we don't include them somehow. But I saw a young man standing there. He had a backpack on and jeans and a T-shirt, very fit and just so interested. You could see it. You know, he couldn't barely help himself watching these dogs from ringside, just so into it. And this is a spectator, right? This backpack and. So I walked over and introduced myself, and I asked if he had any questions. And he was a fascinating kid, fascinating. He goes to medical school at Northwestern, where our daughter went, and he lives in the same area for now, and he's moving out to the burbs a little bit. But he took the train from Chicago to Springfield, Illinois, to come to a dog show.
Oh, nice.
And he knew there was a big Newfie entry there, and he likes big dogs. He's contacted the Great Dane Club about their national before he came. He's done all his homework. This kid is the kind, and I wonder, and by the way, after I talked to him, it wasn't just me. Other people went up and said, you know, you could really see his interest. Went over and asked them if they could help. We need to do this. You know what spectators look like. Go ask them what they need to know and how you can help them. He was supported wholeheartedly by the Newfie people, the Great Dane people. I turned him on to an Irish Wolfhound. He never saw one and he was in love. All those people embraced him and gave him names and numbers and cards and all that. And he said, and this goes to everyone in the world, folks.
Because they're all listening.
They are. The kennels that he's found online, the websites, the really nice ones have been the worst. If he asks a tough question, they hang up, you know, like, do you health test? Click. Do I have to meet you at the mall? Click. But some of those have the fanciest websites. And he said, I found that some of the most responsible breeders don't have one, don't have a website.
Yeah.
And that's true, isn't it? Not in all cases, but in all.
No, exactly.
Yeah, good stuff. So, Amit, it was a pleasure to meet you, young man, and good luck in your career and with your dog. So, onward and upward. Anything else in the mailbag, Will?
I don't think so, Wayne. You covered the sportsmanship one. On my list here, it says to pick up dry cleaning, you know.
I've got to do that, too. I'm bad at that. Thanks for reminding
me. I have pick up dry cleaning.
I've got clubs, egos, dry cleaning, sports.
Beagles.
Oh, I have some really big news.
Uh-oh.
The International Kennel Club in Illinois is back.
How about that?
Back, and I'm just thrilled. I think we heard it all day at the shows in Springfield. How excited everyone. What are you going to do? And it's really going to be an event. So.
Oh, good.
We have to pull out all stops. But
you got to call Rocky.
Well, I was going to, and then the news broke today about the general manager, about Sam Bowman and all
that. Maybe he'll give you the job. Black Hawk's new general manager, Mr. Wayne Cavanaugh.
Well, I think Rocky might, I hope he's interested. This is the owner of the Blackhawks, folks, for those who just think you should know who Rocky is. Rocky Wirtz, who's bought some beagles from us, and super, super guy, beagle lover deluxe, and happens to own the Blackhawks and a bunch of other businesses.
As a sideline, he owns the Blackhawks, but it's his beagle passion.
Right. Yeah, beagles are him. He's just, gosh, his passion for them is unbelievable. But yeah, we'd love to get him involved in early,
yeah.
See if he has any advice. So it'll be fun. So Ken Murica, Erica Wyatt, and Scott File, running the show. It's a great team, and I think it's going to be a super event. I know it's going to be a super event.
Oh, I'm going to go. What is it for Wednesday? Do we know when the first one is?
Well, it should be 2023 because we wanted to have a big, giant event. Yeah. The way the rules work, it looks like the AKC requires you have a show every year because it's not defunct anymore, right? It's back. So under new ownership, but it's back. So the Auslander's son was just gracious and wonderful. He's excited because it was purchased from the Auslander's son. He's excited and thrilled that it'll be honored and the tradition will come back. So, but you have to have kind of like a show in 2022. You're not gonna be able to pull that off to make it big and fabulous. So maybe like a soft opening in 2022, but the big one should be 2023. So stay tuned. We will keep you updated right here on the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh. Oh,
we're still working on our jingle. So
we are. Well, we have to wake Sterling up. He's around the campfire at this time of year. He's a guy, and they're not really timely, except for their timing, which is excellent. Did you see the picture I sent you of Archie sleeping on Brody's head?
Yes. Archie's his pointer.
Yes, Archie's his pointer. And he's such a goofball, but a wonderful goofball. Brody's now thinking, see any nice Irish Setter pups down there, Dad?
Oh, no.
So, and he wants to know what he can do to help at IKC too, international.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Good.
Yeah. I could fly right up there, Dad. Yeah. I think he wants to be one of the green jackets more than anything. I think that's why he ended up being a goalie.
Yeah.
Because he liked to wear all the extra stuff when he was a little kid. So, might work out for him.
They're ring that the green jackets, though? That's cool.
Well, I don't know. I do not know that.
Oh, okay.
he's an historian. Anyway, I've been wanting to ask you this. Have you heard any more talk about, we talked about this tiered system. I talked to Erica Wyatt, who's just, by the way, brilliant, an attorney, but a great dog person in person. She bought Sloogies over from Morocco and she's placed in the group almost every night with this beautiful young dog, just beautiful. She was telling me he was a hunting dog, but he yipped. And the pure hunters don't want a yipper. The only reason she was able to pry this out of their hands because he's beautiful and sweet and kind and biddable. He's just a really great dog. Anyway, I ran the tiered system by Erica and she had some good feedback. I ran it by everybody I could and got good feedback. And I think what we're going to end up with, what I'm going to end up writing about is a show system that doesn't have to involve the AKC. They don't have to change anything. The point schedules would stay the same at every show, whether you had 198 dogs or 5,000. You still got the same point schedules.
Just for your championship points, your all-breed points?
Your championship points. The all-breed points, the AKC doesn't keep anyway, the magazines do. Yeah. So we try to convince someone to have an alternative system. And with any luck, we'd make it the only system and drop the others because that's how it would really have the most impact. For group and best in show wins at every show, just like it is now, you get the number of dogs defeated. That's the point you get, right? But if you're a tier one show, which is more than, let's say, 800 dogs, could be a different number, but let's say 800, you get 1.5 times the points. So wouldn't you be more incentivized than to try to get a best in show at a 300-dog show for 300 points to go to a 1,000-dog show and get 1,500 points?
Exactly.
The hope is that people would gravitate back to bigger shows because they had to, and they'd bring their class dogs and build the breed entries because that's what we're missing. It would be pretty simple to figure out. I have other schemes, but everyone says they're too complicated. The ones we were talking about last week, probably too complicated. This is pretty straightforward. The point scales don't change. I would like to say that no matter how many points you got at a tier two show under 800, they count it, but not as a major, but that involves the AKC, and I'm not sure they're willing to take that leap. Will that be the end of some of the smaller shows? I don't know. I don't think so. I think they'd still be able to have a nice local show or combine with other clubs and maybe build their entry up to 800 or 7 or 1,000, whatever it's going to be.
Gives them incentive to change levels to a tier one show. You know, that's the other side of it. My thought was that these clubs that we talked about last week were, say, 15 five-star shows count towards Top Dog system. Well, people want to be in those five-star shows, so they make their show better. And you could have even nominee, because they almost nominate the Kavanaugh Kennel Club, and let's see if they get enough points to become a five-star show.
Right now, you just have to. I mean, unfortunately, it seems like everyone's in such a hurry to get points. You have to make it simple. I don't like tier one and tier two as a name. We've got to come up with a better name. But that sort of system where you're rewarded for going to the bigger shows more than you're rewarded for going to the smaller shows.
Yeah.
And I understand that a 300 dog show, you can have 7 best dogs in the country.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But there's got to be some way to drive bigger entries back to the. We need breed entries.
We need events.
We need events.
We're talking international.
We need events. And if clubs can get together and get creative and do that, they can step up and they can have an 800 dog show too. And some people might want to just go to the small ones, you know, and get a best in show they've never thought of. They'd get win before or whatever. And I think it would help drive the quality and the numbers back to bigger shows. It would consolidate. It would mean consolidation of small clubs. And possible, some would have to dissolve. But I think it's a fair chance for everybody, and it would drive, hopefully, the number of shows down because it is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think you could see people like kennels holding back special dogs to finish them at these events, you know. Yeah. You hold back a dog for the national. Well, I'm going to hold this dog back to finish the international.
And I'm hoping it would help exhibitors and handlers who don't want to go to 300 dog shows a year. They don't want to go to dog shows 300 times a year. Because if I say 300 dog shows, they might think I'm saying dog shows at 300. Right? They don't want to go to hundreds of shows a year. If they can just go to the bigger ones and get 1.5 times the points. They wouldn't have to be on the road as often, maybe. And
their dogs stay fresher. I hate to say it. You see a dog that has pushed and gone to 300 shows, the way he shows in the first 50 shows compared to how he shows the last 50 shows, it shows. It catches up. It's mileage, people.
By the way, this is the time of year And it, I think COVID helped this year because dogs got to stay home and run around. There weren't that, you know, there was that gap in the middle of the year, beginning of the year, where there weren't any shows or as many. But usually this is the time of year as a judge when you go over, just you're quickly running your hands down the hocks and up the leg into the thigh and that whole, all that muscle back there in the thigh. And it turns to marshmallow in November, December, because they've been on the road for so long.
Yeah.
It's that sometimes just it's just too hard for the dogs and the people. I mean, who, everybody in the sport that shows dogs has got a hip and a knee and a neck and a back and a, you know, it's hard.
But it's not fair to these top dogs, because I was talking to somebody this weekend and they were so looking forward to seeing a certain dog and they were let down a bit. I said, well, you know, the dog's tired.
Yeah.
He's a really good dog, but he's tired.
Yeah. And I think hopefully
you can't expect 100% all the time. It's just not happening. Can't.
Hopefully we can find ways. If this isn't the way, I'm sure there's a million other ideas out there, but there's got to be a way to drive dogs back to the breed entry level. We're supposed to be evaluating breeding stock, not handing out the most ribbons to the flashiest, best dog. Right. That's not the purpose of this sport. And if we don't find a way to get back to having some breed entries, judges, like we said last week, won't learn because they don't have anything to learn from. And this will get worse and worse and worse. It's not getting better. You know, the AKC says we don't know what their data is anymore since 2018. No more annual reports. So we can't quite tell. The registration statistics up too. And I get that. But they keep reporting that registrations are up the last 2 years, especially the COVID year. Well, we're not seeing that at the dog shows. So how can we reach out to those new registrants and get them to come to the dog shows?
Remember how
I have a free way.
Yeah.
$20. No.
Remember last week how we talked about, I had just interviewed Jeffrey. And he talked about his pointer bitch and he started off saying how many breed wins she won. And how we thought that was an anomaly for today. I was going, Bob Robaugh, who's a historian for Canadian dog shows, he wrote about a book to the dog show with him this week. And it was a hardcover book of all the, I think it was 72 to 74, 1972 to 1974, Canine Classic, which was a magazine in Canada back then. And I was going through it, and that's what I noticed. You get to a dog, it was the dog that Brian Taylor showed, Wagon Wheels Wisecrack, was a beagle. He started off 87 best of breeds this year, you know? And it went down to like 87 best of breeds, 60 group ones, and 19 best, or whatever, right? But he started off with how many best of breed wins. And that went through the whole magazine. They're all like that. Oh, wow. All these dogs cool. Start off with their how many breed wins they had won.
That is so cool. I remember that dog, by the way. No, there were a lot of good wagon wheels. A lot of good wagon wheel dogs down here back in the 60s, 70s, and I guess 60s.
He's for the first beagle to catch my eye because I was a kid. And Brian was one of my heroes, and see, and he showed him just like an Irish Setter, like head by himself, and just holding the tail, and it was
right. That's perfect.
Yeah, everybody's Junior's dog. Everybody wanted to show Crackers at Junior's, you know. Wow. He just stood there.
I was in my glory watching beagles and setters win groups down there all weekend. It was great fun. All my breeds, no pointer. Well, there was a beautiful pointer bitch, but she didn't. She did not win, as there's a lot of quality in that group. Yeah, some of these shows you go to, the Terrier group, by the way, the Ken judge, you wouldn't believe the quality. And we talked about one Terrier at a couple of shows, or two Terriers, three Terriers. Not in Springfield. That Terrier group was stacked with quality. Yeah. I mean, there was a beautiful Scotty, a beautiful Karen, Allison's Irish Terrier. It was just loaded with good stuff. Really, really a strong group. And I'm sure I'm leaving a couple out. Don't hate me. But it was a great group and fun to judge for the Terrier judges who were into it. It was pretty cool. Very cool. Fine times had by all. I'm looking forward to weekend off and then off to California. So.
Oh, yeah, you go. Yeah, Wolfstock coming up.
Yeah, yeah. You can probably tell, but I've really let my hair grow.
Yeah, you started growing out your hair. Yeah.
It's just down to my shoulders now. It was about to my ears, but it just all of a sudden just took off. And I'm having that braided.
And I can smell the incense burning behind you. So you
get exactly. Absolutely. Got a lava lamp and some incense. You know what we should all do?
Rich experience he's having right now.
If they want to make this a dog show, a bigger event, make all the judges dress in that stuff before they get on the plane. Now that would make it interesting.
Yeah, do you have
all these ancient hippies ready? Yeah, all these ancient hippies getting on airplanes. None of us would show up. It would end up, we'd all be in jail somewhere for suspicion of stupidity or whatever.
Do you have your costume ready?
I may.
Yeah.
I may. You have to judge too, you know? So half the stuff I thought of, you wouldn't want to be hitting dogs in the head with the fringes and medallions. And no, you have to wear something that you can actually judge in. So maybe you have some accoutrements for the photos later. I don't know. By the way, Springfield was all masks all the time.
All good.
And I mentioned it before, but I'm telling you, I love masks as a judge.
I know.
You can say things, you can smell. And there's some classes you're not happy. And sometimes, you know, some judges, maybe me, can make faces and not know it and be told by their wife, hey, you're making faces in there. So the mask is really nice to have. And I now have two matching sets of ties and fancy masks. Well, so you have to step up.
Well, see, now I'm trying to think, when are you going to wear a wolf stock? Because are you going to dress up as like Rob Redford as the Sundance Kid? Are you gonna...
I don't have to dress up like Rob.
I know.
Just, that's kind of like you just dressing up like Sean.
And that was, I know it was dated for the movie, but that movie came out during that time period. So,
and you don't have to dress like Sean Connery. So a lot of people don't know this. And, you know, and there was a nice clip that Doc had thrown in there about how amazing we look exactly like Robert Redford and Sean Connery. We had stopped in the street all the time for these autographs. And Doc, he had a little thing. He used it once, but he had the volume so low you couldn't hear it. So no one, we don't really want to get that reputation anyway because we're tired of the autographs, Will. That's we're right. Tired of it. No more.
Mr. Connery, I thought you were a lot taller.
Kind of like, well, there's plenty of actors that are pretty short when you just see them in person. But anyway, so where are you heading next?
This weekend, Trillium. I have Trillium.
Oh, that's this weekend?
Yep.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, looking forward.
Very cool.
Until Lindsay, Ontario, which is kind of like, you know how Springfield, Mass has that one auditorium where they all, well, Lindsay is sort of our Springfield because they have a lot of dog shows at that site and the hotels are good and the restaurants are good. So it's, we're looking forward to it. So
wonderful. Wonderful. Well, that's good to know. By the way, there's a great series in Canine Chronicle about, there's a bunch of good articles in there this week, not just mine, about trimming and the art of history of some people, some greats from the past. And sometimes we skip through those pictures and throw them away. And you might want to read some of that stuff sometime.
Yeah, sure.
There's some good information. So a couple of good authors in there, a couple of good writers have some good articles. So take time to read those things. These magazines are full of good ideas and good writers. Anyway, that's all I have, young William. I do have a dog who's looking at me in a very appealing way. Not that he's looking appealing. He's appealing the case of me not giving him a cookie. So he's going to want to win
that. Getting that time to let the beagles up too. So.
That's right.
Gotta let the beagles out. Let the beagles out.
Yeah. Who let the dogs out?
Apparently, I'm getting my Kraken jersey next week.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm glad I didn't judge Sunday because Saturday night, through the miracle of Brody Kavanaugh, called him and said, hey, buddy, I know this game's on. I'm in a hotel and the internet's terrible. Can you hook me up? Not a problem, Dad. Use your phone, do this, do that. And there was the
crack. Bounce it off this, bounce it off that. Boom.
That's exactly what he did. But the problem was I didn't realize the game was going to go to almost midnight.
Yeah,
surprise. I was laying in bed thinking, man, my time clock is usually earlier than this, but what fun. What a beautiful arena.
I know. And they've had five games. They've had five fights.
Yeah, I know. And Seattle should be more peaceful than that. But it's called clean energy or something? The arena's got a cool name.
Oh, I have no idea. No idea.
Anyway, it's a net zero carbon facility. It cost them $1 billion, 98% over cost or something. But everything in this building is either recycled or can be recycled. Or even the water for the ice is collected in the rain gutters and then drawn down to a system and used, so they're not using any local water.
Yeah, of course, sandals when you go there.
You don't have to wear sandals, but you can. But I might run up there after the shows in Vallejo. Everybody had a Kraken jersey. Everybody. They all had Kraken jersey. You're full of yourself there, aren't you, Will?
Sometimes I make myself laugh. That's all that matters.
It's like Andy Kaufman. Oh, I was funny. No, it's not so bad.
Thank you very much. No, I am Andy. Oh,
man, he was the best comedian in the world.
He could be annoying too, but he was.
Well, that was his shtick. He had that thing where he dressed up like a lounge singer.
Yeah, yeah.
With a different name, and he'd get up on the stage and sing badly, and they'd boom and throw him out, and he thought it was hysterical. He never revealed that it was Andy Kaufman.
Women's wrestling, when he started wrestling women.
And every night, every time he was home in California's hometown, he worked as a busboy at a restaurant for many, many years and just did his job as a busboy once a week to keep himself grounded and probably get great material too. I don't know, but he was a comic genius. Unfortunately, he died of, I think it was cancer, but
it was, yes.
People thought he was kidding.
Yeah.
But he certainly was not. Great comic. Well, you've learned about hockey and comedy here, folks. Well, pardon?
When Jim Carrey did the biopic, Man in the Moon, he did such an amazing job.
Yeah, what a great movie. So you've learned about movies, hockey,
dog
sleep on his head. You've got all kinds of great knowledge to go forth with. Young William has filled you in on the best of footwear for the Seattle Kraken games, obviously the sandal.
I'm sorry, Seattle. I'll wear sandals when I get my...
Take the jersey back. Take the jersey back. Sure. Don't give it to him. Anyway, it's been fun, at least for Will. He's had a great time. I hope you have too. So hang in there. See you next week. Thanks for listening. And by the way, wow, more and more talk at the shows about the podcast. I have no idea why, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I know. I love it when people... Sam must have loved the show. I think that's fabulous. That's
great fun. Great fun. Well, take us out, young William.
All right. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. You're supposed to say drive safe.
Oh, yeah.
That's drive all you do every week. Everybody.
My one line.
It's all you got. No cue cards again. Jeez. Good night, everybody.
Drive safe, everybody.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no way.
Way.
Down Rocky Cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins.
Shattered glass. Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. Without you, from where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Yellow hills. Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
I watch the move under my feet.
Thanks.